Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you that we get to come together and learn more about you. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's Sunday morning. When you get to church or you're just on your way, what is going through your mind? Are you a little bit happy with yourself because you've got all the kids fed and dressed and in the car and you're here on time? Or are you wondering if there are going to be technical mishaps this morning and whether your parking isn't going to have enough time on it because we've had a bit of a mare? Are you wondering whether you've set the oven timer for your lunch or whether you're going to get home to cold and not cooked chicken? Or if you're a bit littler, maybe you're wondering whether the beginning of the service is going to be nice and short so you can get to Rock Solid or to Pathfinders and play some games and see your friends. That's not the only thing we do in Pathfinders and Rock Solid, but it is what the kids look forward to. Maybe there are different things in your head. Maybe as you walk through the door, you're strategically placing yourself so that you don't have to sit near that person or that family that you don't really get on with. Maybe you're just not feeling part of the church family. You don't feel like you don't know many people, feel like you don't really fit in. Maybe you're wondering why you come to church at all. We're going to try and answer some of those questions this morning. Matt asked you two earlier on. He said, who is church for and what is church for? And judging by some of the answers that the kids gave, I don't really need to be up here explaining it. We seem to have done an okay job in Ephesians so far. But for the rest of us, for all of us as a church family, let's spend a few minutes thinking about it. So let's jump into Ephesians 4 and see what Paul says in answer to those two questions. And what I want you to do is to have a look down at verses 4 to 6. Help the little people around you to find those verses. I'm going to find Ephesians again because for some reason I got James open. Okay, I'm going to read verses 4 to 6. And what I want you to do is put your hand up in the air every time you hear the word one. Okay? Are you ready? There is one body. Very good. We're on the ball. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I counted seven ones when I was reading through this earlier this week. And normally if the Bible uses the same word over and over again, you know it's important. If you've got seven ones in two verses, one has got to be pretty key. Paul is saying that we are one. We as a church family are one people, one body of people brought together. We've got one Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit inside of us. We've got one Lord Jesus who saved us. We've got one Father who's over all of us. And those are some pretty amazing things to have in common. They make us one. They make us a family together. But one people has lots of individuals within it. I wonder what your answer to Nikki's question of kind of what is your perfect day was. Did it involve the beach and pizza and ice cream and nieces and nephews? Or did it involve your bed and Netflix and lying there and doing nothing at all? We like different foods. We spend our weekends doing different things. We do different jobs. We go to different schools. We're just not the same as everyone else here. And later on, we'll see that that is a really great thing. But it can also be a slightly troublesome thing. When lots of different people get together, you start to have disagreements about things because you think different things about how things should be run. So Paul, who knows that's going to be a problem, has three attitudes that he wants us to have with our church family and one thing that binds all of those things together. Okay, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3, so have a look down at those. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Humble, gentle, and patient. Those are the three attitudes. And we're going to watch a video, hopefully, that's going to help us to understand what being humble and gentle and patient looks like. If not, we'll have to act it out, but that'll be funny as well. So, I'll narrate for you, it's all right. Here's Johnny Brownlee. He's come onto the final stretch of his race, and his brother has just run past him and spotted that he's really in trouble. He's competing for the gold medal with this South African chap, but instead of going for the gold, stops to help his brother and runs into the finish line. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in any other sport. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? So he's going to take him all the way to the finish line and give him a little shove over the line. But it's an amazing display of humility. And so Alistair comes around the corner, and instead of thinking about himself, thinks about his little brother, thinks about how he's in trouble and how he's going to help him to get to the finish. And he does it really gently, doesn't he? He doesn't just shout at him as he goes past, "Oi, come on, keep running." He picks him up and he carries him to the finish line. And he does it pretty patiently. Like, that's not a short distance, is it, to carry your brother, basically. He's really in trouble. But he's going to get there. Or, well done. He was all right, don't worry. But it's amazing, isn't it? And he doesn't just kind of pull him over the line so that he still gets second and his brother gets third. He pushes him over the line and he gets second place. Amazing humility, thinks of other people rather than thinking of himself. Amazing gentleness, he's kind. He's not harsh. And amazing patience. He carries him all the way to the finish line and deposits him over the other side. There are three characteristics that Paul says we're supposed to have with our church family. Now, what might that look like? Well, adults, maybe I can talk to you particularly just for a moment. Did it kind of strike a chord, ring a bell, when I mentioned coming in and strategically placing yourself away from that personal family that you find just a little bit difficult? Well, humility would look like thinking less about yourself and more about them and actually going over and talking to them, putting aside whatever difficulty you have and going to talk to them. Maybe the reason that you find them a little bit difficult is because they love to complain about other people at church. Well, dealing with them gently would look like speaking kindly to them about that, kind of trying to get under the surface of why they're doing it, not speaking harshly to them, and definitely not just storming off and not talking to them anymore. And being patient would look like coming back every week, even if that never changed in the whole time you knew them, coming back week after week. But that's really not easy, is it? It's really hard to do that, and pretty soon we're going to run out of energy, which is why Paul says, don't do it under your own steam. Bear with each other in love. We've been thinking last week in particular about praying for power from God so that we can understand how much God loves us. There's a reason that Paul prays that for the Ephesians at the end of chapter 3 and then tells them to bear with each other in love. They need that supernatural power from God to understand his love so that they can bear with each other in love. Now, we're not always very good at doing that, and Matt's going to come up and help us to go through a prayer to think through that a bit more.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, we get that wrong sometimes, don't we?
In fact, we get that wrong kind of all the time. And so we're going to come to a time in our service now where we're going to confess, we're going to say sorry to the Lord for the times that we turn from him and we don't live those ways that he tells us we should. Let me tell you what's going to happen if we have it on the screen. So the bits that are in bold at the bottom, we're all going to say that. So it says, forgive us and change us. We'll say that three times, and then the last one we'll say amen all together. So I'll read the bits that aren't in bold, and you join in. Even if you can't read, when everybody else joins in, what you need to say is, forgive us and change us. So let's go for it. Let's confess. Let's say sorry to the Lord for the way we've been living. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for the times we only think about ourselves and not others. Forgive us and change us. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for the times when we are harsh with one another. Help us to be kind with our words and actions. Forgive us and change us. Heavenly Father, we are sorry that we are impatient with each other. Help us to keep loving one another, even when it's hard. Forgive us and change us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died to pay the price for our sin. Thank you that you are humble, that you are gentle with us and patient with us. Please would you change us to be more like you. Amen. Amen. Well, Josh is going to come and speak to us again.
Great. So we've had a little think about our first question. We've had a little think about who church is for. It's for all sorts of different people brought together to be God's family. It's not always easy. We're going to need to bear with each other in love. We're going to need to be humble and gentle and patient. Now, let's think about our second question. What is church for? And to help us to get into the mindset of that, we're going to play a quick game, okay? So what I want you to do, I've got the aims, the visions of a few companies up on the screen. There are going to be three options for which company this aim is from. I don't know if I can remember them. We'll have them up. Let's see what happens. Oh, okay, good. Okay. So here's the first one. Have a think about which company this might be. To bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Asterisk, if you have a body, you are an athlete. Okay, is that Adidas, Nike, or Reebok? Have a chat with the people around you very quickly. Do you think it's Adidas, Nike, or Reebok? Okay, and stop there. James, let's find out. Who is it? It's Nike. Who apparently had the slogan, Crush Adidas, as their vision in the 70s. But there we go. Okay, let's have the next one up. To inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. Is that Starbucks, Cafe Nero, or Costa? I think everyone knows that that's the sort of thing Starbucks wants to do, isn't it? Yeah, it's Starbucks. Okay, next one. To make people happy. Do you think it's Disney or Cadbury's or Apple? Okay, James, let's see who it is. It's Disney. I'd argue that Cadbury's do a fairly good job of that as well, but... okay, and one more, I think. Okay, so to be the best football club in the world, both on and off the pitch, is that Chelsea, Plymouth Argyle or Manchester United? Okay, James, see the answer. It's Manchester United, yeah. It'd be quite a big aim for Plymouth Argyle, wouldn't it? No offence, Argyle fans. Okay. Everything these companies do is so that they can achieve their aim. And everybody in that company knows what they've got to do in order for that company or that team to achieve their aim. So what is a church for? What's the aim of the church? Well, have a look down at verses 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So these verses tell us what church is for. They tell us the aim of church, and they tell us what role we have to play in achieving that aim as well. Church is where we use the gifts given to us by God to help other people to become more like Jesus. Let me say that again. Church is where we use the gifts that are given to us by God to help other people to become more like Jesus. The aim of the church is to grow into Jesus, to grow to be more like him, to grow to be like the one who is totally humble, who is patient, who is gentle, and who does a lot of bearing with us in love. We're to grow to be more like him. But it's not something that we do on our own. Did you see that we do it with everybody else? We're built up together. We grow to be more like Jesus in love. That means that we each have a job to do. It means that we can help other people to grow to be like Jesus. Paul says that every supporting ligament has a job. In your body, you've got lots of supporting ligaments. Some do big jobs, some do little jobs. I don't really understand it, but you know, you get the picture. Everybody's got a job to do. Even if you think you don't have something to contribute, Paul says you've got a way to help other people to become more like Jesus. So how do we find our role? How do we find our place in our church family to help other people become more like Jesus? Well, a great way is to ask the question, where do you need help? We've got lots of things that you can help with. Come and talk to me afterwards. Come and chat to Matt or another member of the staff team. Come and ask us where you could help, and we'll let you know. But here are just a few examples, okay, of ways in which you can serve that help other people to become more like Jesus. So here's the first one. You could be a sound or a sound desk operator or a projection operator. Don't let this morning put you off getting involved with the sound and projection stuff, okay? It's really helpful. It means that other people can see and they can hear what's going on and they can grow to be more like Jesus. Everyone who speaks to someone new on a Sunday, or even to someone they know, helps our church family to feel more like one, more like we're united. And as people come back week after week, they grow to be more like Jesus. Singing songs that children understand helps children to grow to be more like Jesus. S is for song actions. Okay, now repeat after us. You don't have to stand on the shoulders of the person around you. You don't even have to do the actions if you don't want to. But singing helps the children to grow more like Jesus and to learn more about him. And as children, you can listen really carefully in Rock Solid and in Pathfinders. You can set a good example for the other children around you so that they can grow to be more like Jesus too. Church is where we use the gifts given to us by God to help each other to grow more like Jesus. Why don't we pray and ask God's help to do that? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our church family around us. Thank you for each person. Thank you that they all have a role to do in helping others to grow more like Jesus. And we pray that you'd help us to figure out what that role is and help us to serve wholeheartedly as we do it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.